from the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. So I'm by no means a prude. However, you could say I have some delicate sensibilities. You'll find out why this is relevant to the upcoming conversation. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
All right, remind us of the clue.
Well, I said last week that I visited numerous stone buildings in the course of my travels around Manitoba, but this week we're going to talk about a quite unusual one, an abandoned stone building that was designed to be occupied by just one person. And I was referring to an outhouse. You know, and that's a place, of course, where people go to relieve themselves outside of their house, hence the name. And this one is made of stone. It's located a few miles south of Boulder. And, well, it's an interesting site. So I thought we'd talk about it. And by the way, there are a number of nicknames for outhouses. And we'll get a few of them out of the way right now. Some of the more polite ones being latrine, privy, biffy, loo.
Yes, I'm sure familiar with the last one. Yes. Isn't there some kind of expression about a stone outhouse? Careful now, Gordon, careful.
Yes, well, you sort of, I guess. You know, there's kind of a vulgar expression that we won't repeat here that compares a stout, muscular person to an outhouse made of bricks.
Masterfully done, Gordon Goldsborough. Masterfully done.
Now, the idea that a brick outhouse is very solid, and, you know, in the same way, so is one of stone. Well, the vast majority of the outhouses are actually made from wood. And so I suspect this is the only stone outhouse in Manitoba. And in fact, I challenge any listener who knows otherwise to contact me.
All right. So for those who have never used one, how does an outhouse work?
Well, typically a wooden outhouse is positioned over a hole in the ground and that collects the waste. And then when the hole becomes full, the outhouse is moved over a newly dug hole. And the process repeats. And incidentally, this is a year-round process. You know, summer and winter, yes, people do it outdoors.
Now, how long have outhouses been abandoned here in Manitoba?
Well, in fact, I don't know if they're entirely abandoned at all. I know of several outhouses that are still in active use today. But, of course, in urban centers that are served by municipal sewage disposal, well, the humble outhouse has been mostly eliminated. In fact, probably by about the mid-20th century. So back about 4 years ago, longtime listeners will recall that we talked in this series about a monument at Bozeman, Manitoba, that was erected when the town installed sewer service. And so the townspeople collected all of the remaining outhouses and they had a big bonfire to burn them all. You know, and it was not just rural towns that had outhouses either. You know, I recall that when the Dalnevert Museum here in Winnipeg was constructing a new visitor center a few years back, the workers were digging a foundation for the building and they struck a very smelly pocket of soil. And we believe that that was the site of an outhouse that had belonged to the owner of that residence there. It was actually a former premier, a fellow named Hugh John MacDonald.
So I'm not sure if I want to ask the next question, but I will. There must have been some shenanigans with outhouses.
There is a long history in Manitoba of practical jokes involving outhouses. For example, most outhouses being positioned over a hole in the ground, well, it leaves an opportunity. So if you move the outhouse back a few feet, so the exposed hole is right in front of the door, well, imagine the consequences if, you know, particularly if you're doing this in the dark, you don't know quite where you're stepping, it could be rather messy. Or sometimes people would tip over an outhouse while somebody was inside. And of course, this was probably really funny to the tipper, but I'm imagining it was not a pleasant experience for the tippee.
Okay, so what about this abandoned outhouse today? That's the subject that you want to talk about.
In the early 1870s, a fellow by the name of Archie McLaren arrived in southern Manitoba. And I spoke recently with his grandson, a fellow named Duncan McLaren, who told me that Archie homesteaded near the present day town of Swan Lake, starting in 1874. And then eventually he moved to this site, which is just a little north of Rock Lake. And there he built a fine home, he filled a barn, both of which had foundations made of field stones that he had collected from the surrounding landscape. He had seven sons, and the second youngest of whom, a fellow named Clarence McLaren, he was living on the original homestead by the 1930s, and Clarence is believed to be the one who built the outhouse.
Do we know when the outhouse was built?
Well, it's estimated to be about 65 years old. Duncan McLaren thinks that the outhouse was built sometime in the mid-1950s. Of course, that means that it's not the original one that Archie McLaren would have undoubtedly had on his property.
What does it look like?
It's roughly square. It's about 6 feet on a side and about 8 feet tall. Of course, as I said, the walls are made of stone. In fact, in this case, they're very neatly mortared field stones. Then there's a wooden door on its west-facing wall. On the bottom of the back wall, there is a small door. It's probably about a foot and a half square. And I suspect the purpose for that little door was that a person then could place a bucket inside to collect the waste. Well, inside the outhouse is what we call a two-holer. Of course, it means there's two holes, and that means that in theory, it has room for two people to use it simultaneously. And this has always kind of surprised me why you would want to have two holes to be used at one time. But I'm told that one of the reasons is that occasionally you would have, you know, two different size holes. So one would be for adults, one would be for children. But in the case of the McLaren outhouse, as far as I could tell, they were pretty much the same size. So I really don't know why they would have had a two-holer. And then mounted on the wall inside, there was a toilet paper dispenser, of course, for the use of the people inside. But for many households, toilet paper was a definite luxury, you know, that a lot of people couldn't afford. So, you know, they would use other things like old newspapers. They would use pages from the Eaton's catalog that weren't used anymore. There was other things, but let's just leave it at that.
What about on the door? Any kind of specific imagery? I'm thinking of a crescent moon on the door.
Right. You know, there's a real stereotype about, you know, outhouses having a crescent moon. And supposedly, this was a way of letting light inside. Because, of course, you know, you can't just sit in the darkness doing your business. But in this case, the McLaren outhouse didn't need one because it actually had a transom window above its door. So there was ample light getting in. But as to why they would have a crescent moon in the door, there is a story that in pre-literate times, you know, before people could read, you know, you needed some way to identify outhouses for men and women, because in many cases they did have separate ones. And in fact, this is still a common practice. I encountered quite a number of one-room schoolhouses, for example, that have separate outhouses for boys and girls. And so they would mark the doors with some kind of symbol to identify which was the men's, which was the women's. And apparently the common practice was to use a crescent moon for the women's outhouse and a star for the men's. But because the women's outhouses were typically better cared for, those were the ones that have survived. And therefore, everybody sees outhouses with crescent moons and they think somehow that's what they all have. But in fact, only half of them had those.
You mentioned how outhouses were mostly built of wood. So why did Clarence McLaren build his of stone?
I put this question to Duncan McLaren. I said, you know, why did your uncle build this outhouse in this way? And he had absolutely no answer. Stone makes the building all but impossible to move. So, you know, I can think of no functional reason to build an outhouse of stone except to make it durable. So, you know, maybe just Clarence thought he would keep his outhouse forever and he just wanted to make sure that it would never fall down. I just don't know.
Do we know why the outhouse was abandoned?
So in the late 1960s, Clarence McLaren and his wife moved into a more modern house, which in fact had an indoor toilet in the nearby town of Glenora. And so the old house, the old barn that had been built by his father, fell into ruin. And in fact, both are gone today. All that's left are the stone foundations of the buildings. But the little outhouse is still standing and in good general repair, although I suspect it hasn't been used in several decades because Clarence McLaren died in 1982 at the age of 85. So although the site is still in use, there aren't any people using it anymore. It's now a pasture for the herd of Angus cattle. And of course, they don't need an outhouse.
Yes, the whole field is an outhouse. Gordon, thank you for this.
You're welcome, Nadia.
I don't really know how to pivot to the next clue because it's quite different. Special date next weekend.
Yes, indeed. So 5 years ago, on the 28th of June, 2015, this series, Abandoned Manitoba, began under the now retired host, Terry McLeod. And so I thought next week, I'm going to share my favorite 10 abandoned places among the many we have discussed here.
Looking forward to it, Gordon. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you next week.
from the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many